This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Gonna launch a three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
614-0-RUN in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by office specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales, and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more.
She throws the first three in a row for Lockridge!
Now, from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo, here's Jim Taylor with Sportsline.
It is the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a tradition that began back in 1979 when the station signed on. I'm Jim Taylor. Ty Taylor is alongside. Was that a misprint this morning? Rockridge lost in softball to Ridgewood?
Yeah, crazy. I mean, you know, we haven't seen that happen very often, obviously, twice since 2021, which is really an incredible statistic. But, you know, like in that game yesterday, me and Coach Cook were talking throughout the broadcast, just the way it played out was so, you know, atypical of what Rockridge usually does in softball. They made a couple of errors defensively and just never were able to get anything going on the offensive side of things. But credit Ridgewood, you know, it capitalized on all the mistakes that Rockridge made. And then on the flip side, Maya Brown pitched for them, who's a senior. I think she entered with over 500 career strikeouts, pitched a really good game too, allowing just four hits. So yeah, big win for Ridgewood yesterday, really like a statement type win to beat a program like Rockridge. 6-4 was the final. So yeah, really good performance by them, and Rockridge, like I said, really, it's shocking when you see them lose in softball because it just never happens.
Well, does that, to me, then, the Lincoln Trail Conference has at least one state tournament contender, if not two, maybe three. Right, especially with 1A, you got two because West Central is right. Reloaded from last year, and they've been putting up crooked numbers. But I would think this is going to do a lot for Ridgewood picking up that win. And I was telling you, I think I was talking to Ty off the air. I think the last time, and we're talking about, you know, four class sports, which softball is, I think the last time Rockridge lost to a 1A team was 2011 in May. They lost 1-0. That was during the 4-year run of Katie Bertelson, who was a senior. So that they were the state champs that year. So 08, 09, 10, and then 11. And they beat Rockridge 1-0 in early May. So I think that's the last time they lost to a 1A opponent in the IHSA. And then was that officially the first regular season loss ever for Kendra Lewis?
The first loss ever. For her.
Crazy.
65-1 now is her record, because last year Peyton Brown was the losing pitcher in the game they lost to Ottawa 1-0 last April. But yeah, that was her first ever loss. That was her, I think off the top of my head, it was her 76th pitching appearance yesterday. She's now 65-1.
And 600, how many strikeouts you get yesterday?
10.
So she got 600.
Or excuse me, that's not right. I didn't total up hers. But she has over 600 strikeouts, and you know, we talk about the score 6-4. It was one earned run, though, that Lewis gave up, which, like I said, Rockridge made a couple of errors, probably a few, you know. And then the one stat on that game yesterday was Ridgewood hit into 7 fielder's choices, and 0 of those plays resulted in outs, which is crazy. I mean, that's 7 outs, basically, that Rockridge kind of gave away. And Ridgewood's a good team, and when you give teams extra outs, which Rockridge never has done in the past, you know, it can come back to bite you. And that's what happened yesterday, where they scored, you know, two runs, 3 innings in a row in the second, third, and fourth. And we talked with Rockridge coach Scott Durbin. We'll play that in a moment. But basically, you know, if you take away those sloppy middle 3 innings, they're fine. But obviously you're not able to do that.
So I see they play a doubleheader, I think, today with Spring Valley Hall. And then are they... Now, it doesn't look too promising for Monday. They're scheduled to play the Churard Tigers on Monday. That's a WRMJ broadcast game.
Yeah, they play Churard Monday and Thursday, and Mercer County Tuesday they're scheduled to play. So a pretty challenging week for them coming up. You know, those games, I think Churard and Mercer County both have pretty high expectations this season. So, yeah, two interesting matchups, or three interesting games for them this coming week. See how they respond. That's the other thing that I think is kind of intriguing to monitor, too, is how they respond, because they just, like we said, they never lose. And it's kind of a new group. They're really, really young. And that's the other thing we haven't mentioned yet either. I mean, they lost six starters and six great players. And the biggest difference, like you see this year, is just like last year, you got spoiled with the lineup they had. I mean, like the Thunder 1-9, where there was not a weak spot. Where this year, early on, I think, you know, teams can get some outs in the bottom of Rockridge's order just because those kids, they're playing varsity softball for the first time. A lot of them, I think they have like four or five sophomores in their starting lineup. So, you know, it's obviously kind of surprising they lost, but there's no reason to like hit the panic button or anything, because at the end of the day, you know, in the games in the postseason when they get there that matter, they're going to have the best pitcher in the state pitching. So they're going to be in games, you know, and there's a lot of time for those kids to get up to speed hitting. So if I'm Rockridge, not really all that concerned. I mean, you're not going to go 35-0 every season, you know. So
only a couple of them,
right? Only two or three in a row.
Yeah. But like you said, yeah, it's a different animal when late May and early June roll around. And I'd say I'll give Kendra Lewis the ball and take our chances.
Yeah. I don't care who's batting when she's pitching. Yeah. So and defensively, got to clean some things up, obviously, because if Rockridge doesn't make all those errors, you know. And like we said, it wasn't like Ridgewood was really hitting the ball that well. They were bunting and bunting and bunting, and Rockridge made a few errors. And, you know, if they can clean up things defensively, they probably would have won that game yesterday.
Well, it's interesting then, the philosophy of Churard. I know, well, last year or the last couple of years, it's take big swings and look for crooked innings. Yeah. So we'll have to see what that dynamic is in play on Monday. So we had that broadcast yesterday, and then... So we'll have the game Monday in softball, weather permitting, and Tuesday in softball. So those will be two pretty good games, Rockridge at Churard in softball, and then Mercer County scheduled to play at Rockridge in softball on Tuesday. Now, we'll talk about it a little bit later in the program with the Brian Rouge. Mercer County, their game softball postponed because of the multi-fatality impacting Prophetstown. Of course, that's Erie Prophetstown Co-op, so they were scheduled to play Mercer County Thursday. That game got wiped out. And the Eagles, how many softball games have they played so far this year?
I believe
they're
4-0.
So they've had four games, and so the big test coming up Tuesday. I saw the Mercer. It was interesting. I liked the fact on Good Friday yesterday, Mercer County and Monmouth Roseville, did they play like a morning, late morning or afternoon game?
And in baseball.
I saw Monmouth Roseville scored five in the bottom of the seventh. The Eagle baseball team, they've taken some agonizing losses early in the season where there have been some like late inning wins by the opponents.
Yeah. Well, I saw they allowed seven runs on five hits. I think they walked 13 batters yesterday. And then I know the game they won this season against Illini West, they won 10-8. And I think Illini West scored eight runs on four hits. So obviously it looks like finding the strike zone has been kind of an issue for them. And I can't imagine how long that those games are taking with all those walks. Jeez.
As Glenn Cook says, there is no clock in baseball. But
I wish there was.
There kind of is in Major League Baseball. I bet you he was stoked about the tie. There were seven fielder's choices, and none of them resulted in outs. Or what was his?
Well,
big,
he didn't know the statistic on that. That was Keith Bogner who gave me that stat after the game, but. I mean,
you should have recorded a post game analysis with him.
We have the talk with Coach Durbin coming up, but Coach Cook, I mean, like he said basically on the broadcast, you know, like, I mean, it is what it is. You lose a game, like everybody loses games, and he always says like on our broadcast how spoiled that Rockridge has been with you know, they just win and win and win and win. Where you lose one game, and if any other softball or baseball team that we cover lost a game yesterday, we wouldn't be talking this much about it. But because it is them and the program is what it is, where they've, you know, are the class of the state, basically, it is a story when they lose. And And Ridgewood, too, you know, you could tell how big of a win it was for them because it's rare you see this type of celebration that, you know, their kids were really emotional getting the final out yesterday in a regular season game in March. I mean, that kind of speaks, too, to what the gravity of it is when you play the program that Rockbridge is. So, and they should be excited. I mean, that's a huge win. You talk about, like, that's a score where there are a few games you play in the regular season where everyone in the state, like, will notice. And that's a score I think everybody in the state is like, whoa, some 1A school just beat Rockbridge in softball yesterday and Lewis was pitching. I mean, that's a big-time win for them. So congrats to the Spartans.
Getting back to Coach Cook, I know he's told me this, like, and this is like any sport as it relates to Rockbridge. He always says, oh, Jim, he's like, everybody wants to beat Rockbridge.
Well, he's right. He's, trust me, I hear how coaches and people around the area talk about them, and he's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes, like, we can, maybe we're not supposed to talk about, like, family secrets inside, but I thought it was nice you told me the Rockbridge basketball team sent a card and a gift card.
Yeah, Landon Wheatley's mom was at the game yesterday, and she was going to send it to my address, but then she just brought it to the game and handed it to me as I was leaving. Very nice card. All the kids signed it. Coach Harris wrote us a nice message, and very cool, you know, for them to do that. Thank you to the Rockets boys basketball program. We have such a great time covering them every year, and very, it's always cool when we get stuff like that. I know, like, Coach Johnson sent us a couple of shirts too from Sherrard over the summer, so it's always nice when, like, you know, we get to build relationships with people doing this, and it's really cool that they took the time to do that. So thank you to the Rockets boys basketball program for the nice note.
Yeah, and you're speaking about Rockbridge softball. One of the best things I've ever got in my career that spanned 35 years now is a state championship medal that Coach Nelson gave me a few years ago, and I thought that was so awesome. So we're going to get to Coach Durbin here momentarily. We're also going to hear from Brock Boehner. We haven't heard from him, the new AD at Rockbridge, and then you'll talk with Dustin Murray. But I want to remind our listening audience, you know, we've been a long time home for Fighting Illini Athletics. I don't know if John carried the network in 79 when we first signed on. Now, many times, because high school sports is the predominant coverage for us, the Illini get preempted, but it's nice. They make a deep run, and we'll have the Illini Radio Network on again today. Yeah, so what awesome. Is your assessment of this tournament so far?
Well, they've played really well. I mean, I just, offensively, they've been so impressive all season, but how it's carried over. And I thought they played such great defense for most of the game against Iowa State on whatever night that was, Thursday. You know, like in the first half especially, they forced them to take some really tough shots over and over and over again. But, I mean, they're playing the best team in the country tonight, and I think UConn is definitely a favorite to win the game against Illinois tonight. And I think they're a pretty predominant favorite to win the national title now that, like, Houston got knocked out last night. But if Illinois can win today, I think you could almost say they're the favorite to win the national title if they win tonight, because this is the best team they'll play the rest of the way in UConn. But yeah, they've been really, really good, and it's amazing how much they click offensively. It's really exciting to watch when they get going in transition, and then in the half court they execute so well too. They always, it feels like, are taking open shots.
Well, can I lean on John Hoscheid here for a little bit and say to me the one, because I think he's right, and I'm surprised I'm rooting for the Illini as much as anybody, how they're able to really play as well as they are, and Terrence Shannon's the difference maker, but really not to have the traditional true great point guard.
Right. They're only the best offensive team in the country, though.
But it's like, right. I just thought late in that game, and especially when Shannon gets into foul trouble, I just think, man, some of these possessions, but like you say, all they're doing is winning. And like I said, I've never seen a player in the history of Illinois basketball that can just get to the line as much as Shannon can. I mean, it's just amazing. And then, you know, it's a great TV day today because you have the Iowa women, right? They play, is it like 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock today?
2:30.
And that leads right basically into the Illini game. So what about the women's tournament? What do you?
I'm rooting for Iowa.
And if they win, they play Colorado LSU today.
They would likely play LSU. Well, but, maybe not likely, but that's the potential.
And I guess I didn't realize LSU plays UCLA today. That's who they're playing. So, again, those games coming up today. All right, anything else about spring sports so far? I know the outdoor track season gets underway, I think, next week. I saw the big Gene Shipley relays in the Quad Cities. That's the Western Big Six event that took place yesterday. But we'll start to get into the outdoor events coming up next week. And then it looks like Sherrard is, you know, the team to beat in baseball. But the Rockridge baseball team, they're off to a nice start.
They're 3-0, And Sherrard 6-1. I think Sherrard, though, like you said, is a pretty heavy favorite in the area. I mean, they've really looked good. And the thing about them is their pitching. Like, they have at least three really solid arms in baseball. I mean, that just is such an advantage because, you know, some teams only have one and you got to pitch different kids. It's not like softball where you can just kind of run the same kid out there all the time. In baseball, you got to have the depth in the pitching rotation, and they have that. So I really think that, and I know it's a long way away from getting there, but I think they have a really strong potential to make a pretty deep and special run in the postseason this year.
Trying to get to Dozier Park in downtown Peoria. We covered the Orion Chargers there the 1 year when Ryan Youngworth was the head coach. That's a great facility to do a state tournament game. And I was thinking about the legacy of the station in baseball, how the state tournament has changed over the years. We did when Glenn Cook was the head coach at Rockridge, they made it to state in the two-class system. They played at, I think it's Lanphier Park in Springfield, was the first state tournament host in baseball. And then when Sherrard got there the 1 year, and I don't know if Coach Bazzala was on that team or not, but it was at the home of the Joliet Jackhammers when the state tournament was at. I know that was Dallin Christensen's little brother that was the ace pitcher that year for Sherrard, Zach Christensen. And you know who they played in the state tournament? Addison Driscoll Catholic.
Yeah, they're
that no longer exists in high school football. But now Rockridge and Sherrard, I'm assuming they play baseball then next week too, right?
They do, yeah.
So I like the social media presence that the Rockridge baseball team has with their new coach,
me too. Chisholm.
And who's the kid? I got to figure out. I love the kid that has the long hair and he's got the blue glove.
That's Carson DeCarroll.
Oh, man, I love his glove.
Yeah,
he's a lefty. Looks like a brand new blue glove. I want that glove. All right, let's get a few comments from Scott Durbin. This is after the game yesterday, right? All right, here's Scott Durbin, head softball coach at Rockridge. They fall yesterday to Ridgewood 6-4.
This is Ty Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com talking with first-year Rockridge softball coach Scott Durbin. So we're talking with you Friday after a loss to Ridgewood 6-4 at home. Obviously, you know, the past 4 years or so, losses have been pretty rare for this softball program. So first off, just kind of the message you had to your team after a early season loss.
Well, I mean, we made a lot of mental mistakes, and I went out there and we explained, you take the second, third, and fourth inning away, we're good. We gave up, I think, one earned run. They hit into seven fielder's choices. We didn't make an out. I mean, we're young in the infield, very young. We're going to make the mistakes, and we're just going to look better. And, you know, you win or learn, and we learned a lot today.
Well, yeah, you talk about kind of the youthful group you have. Now, you brought back, obviously, Kendra Lewis, and then I think three other starters outside of her. But the kids you lost from that team last year were six really, really, really good players, where obviously early on when you're playing a lot of sophomores, it's going to take a while, I think, for them to get up to, like, the Rockridge softball speed, right, where you're not really going to be able to totally replace those kids. Early on, what are you looking for out of some of those sophomore kids maybe to try to piece some things together?
Well, I mean, obviously, going back to last year, like, you can't replace a Peyton Brown, Corey Needham, Sierra Bush. You can't replace them. With the sophomores playing now, what they need to focus on is just getting better every day. You know, the pressure, I feel like they don't have pressure right now. It's just go there, have fun, learn every day at practice, and try hard. And, you know, you're going to make the mistakes, but you got to bounce back every day.
And then, you know, defensively, like you said, in the game with Ridgewood on Friday, kind of threw the ball around a little bit. Like you said, one earned run where they scored six. I think maybe three or four balls were hits to the outfield for them, too. So just defensively, what do you think kind of went wrong in that game here today?
Well, I don't want to blame it on the the age and everything like that. But we're young in the infield, and, you know, we got in a couple of rundowns, and we kind of had a snowball fight out there, and it did not go in our favor. I talked to the team after the game, and I expressed it, and I was like, you know, we got to make the mental mistakes. We cannot make the mental mistakes. The physical mistakes will happen. Mental mistakes cannot. We went over all those situations in the game and at a practice, and I don't know what was going on today. I don't know if their head wasn't in it, you know, being on spring break. I'm not sure. We're just going to, you know, come back tomorrow, play a haul, I think, in a doubleheader, and then we got to get better every day, and looking forward to the last seven of the season.
All right, so looking ahead on your schedule this season, I think, you know, in the area, always really strong. I think the conference looks like it should be pretty good at the top, especially you get Girard twice next week, Mercer County once, who I think has high expectations too. So just a little bit about the next week or so, what's got to be better to compete with those two teams next week?
They have good programs. They have good coaches. I'm not going to sit there and talk about Girard or Mercer County. We just need to focus on ourselves and getting better and cut out the mental mistakes. And, you know, this we'll get better every day, and this will click for us. And I can't wait to that day to come.
All right. Coach Scott Durbin joining us, first-year Rock Ridge softball coach. Coach, thanks for talking to us. We'll see you down the line.
Thank you.
And I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
So I would think his demeanor pretty good after that conversation yesterday. But like you said, I mean, the thing that's so bizarre about it all is you don't like to make a big deal about it, but it kind of is a big deal because they just have never lost in the regular season that, especially early.
I mean, like we said, I mean, coming into that game yesterday, since 2021, they were 104-1. I mean, so again, like we said earlier, it's like if this was anybody else and you lose a game by two runs in March, it's like, okay, you know, not a story. But because it's the Rockets, it is, I mean, people are going to talk about it. But like I said earlier too, not too big of a, I wouldn't be too concerned because again, you have Kendra Lewis pitching and you're never going to be really out of the game with her. She'll keep you in the game. And if, you know, the bottom of the order, those kids are mostly sophomores. They'll get better throughout the season. And I will say by the end of the year, when May rolls around, people probably won't want to be playing the Rockets. They probably want to stay away from them in the postseason.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I was thinking about it. So we talked a little bit last week about the football schedule for the track next school year. And it's basically kind of a big school, small school division for football. Now, they're still going to stay east-west for the other sports.
Yeah.
Is that right? And then, so, of course, Mercer County will be on the west side. Now, is Erie Provincetown, they staying on the west side? Or they're going to the other side.
They're moving.
All right. So we know that next year then for all of the sports other than football, that's how it's going to work.
Yeah. Mercer County, Rock Ridge, Girard, Orion, Monmouth, Roseville, Riverdale is the west side.
All right. And then, so I saw kind of where we're starting to see as the season has ended in the winter sports, we're starting to see some changes and openings in high school basketball. See, Lincolnville Conference job at what? Interesting. Both basketball jobs in Kewaunee are open on the boys' side. The Weathersfield head coach has stepped down, and the Kewaunee head coaching job is now open, and they were kind of an interesting follow this year. So the whole town of Kewaunee doesn't have a boys' basketball coach, and those are two programs that have had proud hoops tradition, so it'll be interesting to see who gets those jobs.
Yeah, I mean, Kewaunee has decent talent back. I mean, I think they should be pretty good. They're normally solid. I know Weathersfield the past few years has kind of struggled, and I think they're losing their best player this year. I think he graduated, the Sauer kid. But, I mean, I think Kewaunee, they could attract some people to that Kewaunee job because they normally have pretty solid talent there, and I think they have a couple of nice pieces that are returning. They lost two good players, but they should be a solid team again next year, I would think.
I think the Weatherfield job's a good job, too, with just their following in the location they play at. Now, those are the only two jobs I think I'm aware of that are open right now. I did see it was awesome. I saw Morgan Brott, the junior high AD at Mercer County. I saw he made a trip out east, and he went to the Palestra, which is one of the great venues for college basketball back in the 70s and 80s, where Villanova and a lot of the schools in Philadelphia played at. So I saw there were other like history stops he made, you know, in Philadelphia, but he wanted to go take his family to go see the Palestra. And by the way, I saw last night the movie Hoosiers was on one of the cable channels, or one of the DirecTV channels, excuse me. And I can't remember how many years ago I made the trip to Knightstown, Indiana, that location. And if you like that movie, it's a worthy place to go to, because you can just go in there, like it's open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And if there's no events, they just say, hey, here's a rack of balls and you can shoot around or do it, whatever you want to do. Now, you made that trip to the Hickory High Gym.
Yeah, well, that was on the way home from Cincinnati, though. I wouldn't have gone there on my own.
No, I know, but I made you stop. But it's a worthwhile trip if you like the movie. And just, again, it's like the Hickory's a fictional town. So when you pulled into Knightstown, I always tell people, I remember I was following my GPS, my Google Maps, and I'm like, oh, this is kind of, it's like a town of 2,600, and it's like, turn right here, turn right. And I remember like when we got like a block, within a block of the school, it's such a typical small town thing. There's like a dog in the middle of the road that has to get out of the way. And it's like, turn right, you are here. And then you like get there and you're like, there's a big old school that's like dilapidated, that's vacant like in any small town USA. And then next to it is the Hickory High Husker gym with the historical marker. So anyway, that was a couple years ago. And if you're ever traveling east through Indiana, it's maybe 45 minutes off the interstate, I think just kind of west of Indianapolis. So anyway, that's a worthy stop to make if you like sports movies and high school basketball and Indiana lore. All right, anything else before we take a break here, Ty? We're going to talk to Dustin Murray and then Brock Boehner, again, the new athletic director at Rockridge High School. Anything else you need to mention? Are we good?
I think we're good.
All right. So we'll take a break, come back, visit with Dustin Murray, we'll talk mainly about softball. We had him on last week talking about basically facility type of issues and other things with Mercer County, including, again, we were talking last week about the trophy game between Rockridge and Mercer County in high school football. But this is a high school softball conversation coming up with Coach Murray.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax and have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Are you ready to step into style? Look no further than 6140 Run, your go-to destination for the latest in footwear fashion. Right now, 6140 Run has a great selection of Hey Dude shoes. And here's the kicker. You can buy one pair of Hey Dudes and get the second pair 30% off. Hey Dude shoes are the perfect combination of comfort and trendiness. Don't miss out on the chance to upgrade your shoe game. Visit 6140 Run in Galesburg today to get your pair of Hey Dude shoes.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
And this is Ty Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com talking Mercer County High School softball this morning with Mercer County softball coach Dustin Murray. So, coach, off to a 4-0 start early, having trouble getting games in. You know, obviously we'll get to that in a moment, but just overall through the first four games your team has played, how do you kind of size up the performance so far?
Yeah, I think we've played well, you know, to this point. We, you know, kind of used it as a springboard from last year to keep playing well. And we started off really hot last year, but you know, new team, new identity, you know, but still the same pieces, and we're playing well, you know, off to a 4-0 start. We went down to Jacksonville and won both of those games. And then, you know, got to play, you know, two area opponents in Monmouth, Roseville and Orion, and, you know, play a tough Orion team. I give them credit. They threw everything at us, but our girls responded and came back and dug down and found a way in the bottom of the seventh.
Well, this, you know, we mentioned a moment ago kind of how you haven't got to play a ton of games yet, and it's kind of how every spring season starts, where you have all these games scheduled in the last couple of weeks of March and most of them get wiped out. That's happened again this year. So how have, I guess, you and the kids kind of handled that?
Yeah, you know, we just kind of go day by day, you know, just kind of look at the weather and go day by day, and because you never know, in the Midwest we can have four seasons in one day. But the girls have done a great job handling that, you know, whether we're inside in joy or outside. And, you know, I was talking with our head baseball coach that a bad day outside, you know, cold and windy, beats a good day down in our gym in joy. But, you know, started off the season, we were outside on the dirt day one, which I think is absolutely unheard of. But, you know, it's been exciting. The girls have been, you know, kind of up and down with playing. We had it one of our best practices of the season yesterday, but it was miserable cold out at the diamond. But I thought the girls were dialed in. And at this point, softball, we just want to play. The girls are ready to showcase their talent, you know, and get out there. But, you know, we talk about here, it's a slow jog, but I'm going to guess by the middle of April, we're going to be in a sprint every night.
Well, and I know for you, you have kind of like the unique outlook on it, where you're also the athletic director too, right, where you're having to reschedule all this stuff. So, like, with that aspect of it, what kind of unique challenges does that provide? You know, not only, okay, I'm running the softball program, but two, I got to worry about, you know, the baseball schedule, the track and field schedule. I guess how much is that a challenge, you know, when you look, I think it's your first year as the AD, where it's your second year as a softball coach. How have you kind of been able to handle that, you think?
Yeah, you know, actually last spring, Coach Hofer kind of, you know, we joked, Mr. Petrie joked that I was the AD with training wheels on last year. You know, Mr. Hofer let me help kind of do some of that part last year, but that's definitely been a challenge, balancing both and, you know, trying to work with that. With baseball, it's really hard with arms and trying to line up games and, okay, are we going to have enough pitching? You know, so Coach Harrison and I, you know, work and sit at schedule and say, okay, what's a good day for us to play? That's been, you know, tough. Softball wise, you know, kind of looking at the thing, you know, maybe does the athletic director focus on the softball side a little bit? Maybe, I can't lie. But just trying to get those games lined up and get our girls the opportunity to play. It's definitely a challenge. You know, we did have to cancel a track meet today, you know, that we couldn't have had. But, you know, it's one of those things. It's you just start finding dates and, you know, there's going to be dates backed up to back. And, you know, people know that in the spring because the weather is so unique. And it's just one of those things. You coordinate with your field people, you know, call Tom Sharp at the Park District and, you know, coordinate with him on the baseball field and Terry Bewley helping me out on the softball diamond.
Well, it's, as we mentioned, year two for you as the softball coach at Mercer, the head softball coach, I should say. So, you know, entering year two now, I mean, how much more comfortable do you feel as opposed to maybe last year? What are some of the, you know, biggest things that you say, okay, this year I'm a lot more comfortable with this than I was last year, with not really kind of having a full grasp of how this all kind of goes?
Yeah, I would say this year I'm way more comfortable in, you know, how the schedule is going to shake out, what to expect, where to go, kind of things to do. You know, last year everything was brand new and learning it. You know, this year now it's the AD side learning it, but, you know, a lot more comfortable this year with being able to move all those things and put the girls in the right spots for the best possible outcome to win. So just doing different stuff like that.
Well, taking, I know, a couple of steps forward with the softball program. I remember last season, obviously you win the first regional title in school history. We'll talk kind of more about transitioning that to this season in a moment. But as you look back to last year, I know that was a really special moment for the program, obviously, but too, I think the school district and the community. So when you look back on winning that regional title last year, I think in Brimfield against IVC, I mean, how special of a moment was that for you and the program?
You know, I don't think words can put into how special it was, you know, for me to have my family there, to have the one senior in Maddie Frieden that we had last year, to finally break through, to win that regional title. And I joked with Coach Seedam about, you know, having one of the only regional titles in the school recently, not to rib on him, but just, you know, exciting for the school, exciting for the girls. You know, we go to Brimfield and the support we had at Brimfield that day was absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, the calls and text, I joked, I drove the bus home after that regional championship, got back to Aledo, looked at my phone and I had 20 missed calls and 130 text messages. So I think it speaks volumes to what athletics and these sports and what these girls did for our community as a whole.
Well, you mentioned your lone senior last year, Maddie Frieden, the only kid in the program who graduated from that team last year. So you bring back, you know, your top two pitchers. I think 8 of the 9 starters last year are back in the field. So when you look at kind of all that returning talent you have, what's kind of the outlook you have with those kids and this team, where I would assume coming off a regional title with a heavy portion of your production back, got to be pretty high expectations, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got high expectations. The girls have high expectations. They knew from day one what this team is capable of, with like you said, 8 of our 9 starters back. And now we're, you know, early with the games, trying to figure out the pieces and the puzzle of, you know, where does everybody go and what kind of mix do we fit into? It's been exciting. It's been fun to watch. The girls have really bought in again to what me and my coaching staff have tried to portray to them. So it's been an exciting, you know, thing, and it's a launching board. We want to use last year as a springboard. Obviously, last year was a fantastic year, and we had a lot of girls playing, a lot of young ones playing that grew up really fast. And those girls using that experience this year, I think that speaks volumes to kind of where we were maybe 8 years ago, 7, 8 years ago when I came in with Coach Weeks. You know, we've built this program to the point where we're, you know, the girls can dig deep, you know, when we go to Orion and we go up 1-0 and then we go back out in the top of the 7th and we let up 2 and we're down 2-1, the girls never flinched. And to come back in that bottom of that 7th inning and get girls on and get girls moving things around, we kind of create some havoc on the base pass a little bit, you know, and then ultimately Peyton Ruggles hitting a line drive up the middle to win that game just speaks volume, I think, to these girls and how they can dig down deep and find a way to win.
And then also, you know, obviously with losing Maddie Freeman, that opens up at least one spot in the order for you. So maybe some newcomers this season who weren't as big of kids who maybe produced on the team last year. Anybody specifically you're kind of excited to see take on a bigger role this year?
Yeah, you know, everybody, you know, we kind of go into practice with kind of an open mind of who can nail in for us. And we've had a bright spot in Peyton Knapp becoming a freshman and being, you know, in our lineup. She's done a nice job at that. But everybody, you know, all throughout, you know, Riley King and Gabby McPeak and Hallie, you know, bringing back their senior leadership, you know, finding that. And then obviously, you know, Elsie and Nat and, you know, coming in as sophomores, but being seasoned sophomores where they've got a full varsity season under their belt, you know, with Liv Gillespie, you know, coming like that. I just think, you know, and Madison Campbell Baker coming in too. And we've got some bench players who are great ones for us, you know, between Tiki Lang and Rayla Parkinson and Gracie Voss and Sid Lampkin. We've got a good core group of girls that are excited.
And I think when you look at softball around the area, I mean, I think that like the Quad Cities area, maybe even a little bit further away too, when you get maybe a little more down south, like this area, I think in softball every year is so, so good. So when you look at kind of your 2024 schedule, anything specifically that you're looking forward to this year?
You know, I'm looking forward to our conference. Obviously, West Central and Ridgewood have some fantastic pitching. But, you know, it goes without saying that everybody knows that the team to beat in this area is Rock Ridge. And, you know, we're excited to hopefully play them next Tuesday, weather permitting, obviously. You know, everybody in this area, that's one thing I've noticed. Softball in this area is very good. That there's quality players, and I think that speaks volume to the softball in this area and different things.
And then, too, as you wrap up with you, I think a week or two ago, the IHSA released kind of the postseason sites and the subsectional makeup. So this year, you don't get sent south. You're back kind of with the area schools with Rock Ridge. Sherrard will be a part of the subsectional. I think Riverdale's in there, too, Kewaunee. So when you look at kind of how the postseason trail will start, I mean, you don't know the seeds yet. Obviously, it's really early on, but just kind of your reaction to the teams you're grouped with, you know, regional, sectional, super sectional, even potentially to just kind of your initial reaction to the makeup there.
Yeah, you know, we know it's going to be a hard road, but the team that comes out of there is going to be battle tested. And so we want to do ourselves in a good spot by, you know, playing these non-conference games, you know, with these local area schools to, you know, see what they are, see what we can do against them. Because that's ultimately, you know, we've got to play them to get where we want in the postseason. And you know what? It's any given day, any team can go out and get a dub.
All right. That's Mercer County softball coach Dustin Murray joining us on WRMJ this morning. Coach Murray, thanks for talking with us. Hope we're seeing you Tuesday against the Rockets on the air, weather permitting, like you said. And good luck this season. Should be a fun year following softball in the area.
Absolutely. Looking forward to seeing everybody out. Thanks, Ty.
And I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax and have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Spring is in the air, and it's time to take your workouts outdoors with 6140 Run. Introducing the latest arrivals at 6140 Run, the Brooks Glycerin 21, Mizuno Wave Horizon, and Saucony Ride 17. Whether you're hitting the pavement or tackling the trails, these top-of-the-line running shoes will keep you comfortable every step of the way. Don't let anything hold you back this spring. Take the first step at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
And this is Ty Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Rock Ridge High School has its next athletic director as Brock Boehner was officially hired for the role at the school's Board of Education meeting earlier this week, a 1999 Macomb High School graduate. So Brock, as we start with you, just can you kind of tell us how you feel officially being named the athletic director at Rock Ridge?
It's a really exciting feeling for me, and obviously, you know, I'm leaving home, but at the same time, this is a job that just really interested me, and I kept going back and looking at the posting after I heard about it, talked to my wife, and finally decided, you know, this is something, an opportunity that we were really interested in, and I got a really good feeling at the interview. I felt at home, and so I'm just really excited. You know, great tradition up there, very strong athletics programs, and couldn't find anybody that said anything negative about it. So just really grateful and excited for the opportunity.
Well, you mentioned they're kind of leaving home. Now you're a Macomb grad, went to Western Illinois University, and then have been a teacher and coach in the Macomb district for, you know, quite a while now. I think you said nearly 20 years. So what was it that made you want to apply for the job at Rock Ridge? Like, what was it that said, okay, this is something that I would want to do maybe to leave Macomb and go to Rock Ridge?
Well, I got my degree in administration a few years ago, and the intention was, when I did that, was to be an athletic director somewhere down the road. The principal opportunity opened up, and decided to try that. It's been a great experience. Very valuable things that you've learned working with people and kids and parents, and things that you don't always get to do as a teacher. But you know, ultimately, my passion has always been in to be an athletic director. My wife has recently switched jobs from, she worked at Western Illinois University. She now works for the University of Illinois, but she works at home. So it gave us some flexibility. And we've been talking about the possibility of some certain locations that we might want to move our family to if an opportunity showed up that they liked. And this one was there. And, you know, like I told her when I left there after the interview, I don't know if I'll get it, but I really felt at home there. And it's a good place, good facilities. Little thanks to Coach Whiteman, who, you know, is no longer at Rock Ridge, but we didn't know much about the actual school district, so he drove us around and, you know, kind of gave us a tour of everything. It's a big district with a lot of area, but, you know, we were impressed, and so that's how we ended up here.
Well, you mentioned you thought your interview went pretty well, so can you kind of walk us through what the interview process for the position looked like for you?
Monday evening, came up, we did the interview, they walked me around the facilities. I had only really ever been into the, you know, the main varsity gym. So, I got to see the school and all the other things that they had to offer. You know, it's like a new weight room or weight room areas going up in there, lots of good things happening. But the school was very nice. You know, we just built a brand new middle school in Macomb, which is where I'm currently working. But, you know, even being in a building that had been there for a while, it was clearly been upkept. And I just was overly impressed when I left there and had a good feel about it.
So you're a kid who grew up competing in the Olympic Conference. So obviously there's the connection with Rock Ridge there. How much did like that familiarity, you think, help you maybe make the step and say, okay, this is a school district that I'm familiar with, having, you know, competed with them growing up? Did that play much of a role, you think, in helping you maybe want to take this role?
Oh, absolutely. I think familiarity was a big part of what drew me to it. And obviously knowing the history there and the success they've had in the past was a big part of that. I've known a lot of the coaches there. They've all seemed very happy and complimentary of the school and the district. So all those things were there. The facilities, I was always impressed with those when we came up to play in high school, and all the years that we've coached. I just felt like there was good support, good tradition, and lots of things we were looking for.
Well, you mentioned there too, kind of like the lengthy career for you coaching athletics at a few different levels. So can you give us kind of your background in like coaching, what that has looked like for you?
Sure. So I started off as Sean Taylor hired me as a junior high basketball coach when he was the head coach down here. That was a great experience. And he kind of took me under the wing, let me sit on the varsity bench too, kind of learn the ropes with him and Coach Fosdick. Then I was also that same year was the assistant baseball coach with Max Krebs, who was extremely successful, head coach down here at Macomb. So those people really got my foot in the door and got me started. At the same time, then our Legion program was kind of dwindling and decided to try to take that over. But that was also a good experience getting to be a head coach at that young of an age. And then I ventured over into being an assistant at Western Illinois for 4 years. I was still teaching, but I could still coach there. Great experience. Our coach actually passed away, Coach Hyman, and so I was actually the interim head coach there for a while as well. And then decided that, starting a family, get back into the high school, it's a little less stress on the schedule. And so then I took over as the head baseball coach and went back into high school basketball as well. And that's kind of where I left off until I became a principal.
So 2 years as a principal, you mentioned the experience you have coaching. I mean, you kind of connect those two, pieces of experience you have. I think it, would be a pretty good predecessor to being an athletic director. So how much do you think your previous experience in those two different roles will kind of help you mold your path as an AD?
I think it's invaluable. I mean, it's different as an admin because you're mainly dealing with a lot more with people and the adult side of it. And, I've learned a lot of lessons from that and what to do and what not to do. The coaching side obviously is really important when you're becoming an athletic director, because you have to kind of understand what the coaches are going through. It's not an easy job. It's a thankless job in most situations. And, they need a lot of support, and they need a lot of, some might need guidance or whatever they need to be successful at that level. But we all know the world of, high school athletics, and it's something I have a passion for. And I think the two things have really helped prepare me, hopefully, to do the best job I can at Rock Ridge.
And just as we wrap up with you here today, is there anything specific that you're really looking forward to when you begin this position next school year at Rock Ridge as the athletic director?
I don't even know how to explain it. I'm excited about it. I wake up every day right now really, really excited about the opportunity and hoping that I can help continue the success there. And I was really excited about getting to work with Katie as well. She's obviously, her experience speaks for itself, and people spoke very highly of her, as well as the other people there as well. So I'm really excited about it, and that's about where I can leave it at this moment.
All right, that is new Rock Ridge High School Athletic Director Brock Boehner joining us on WRMJ. Thanks a lot for talking with us today, and looking forward to working with you in your new role at Rock Ridge with us here at WRMJ.
I appreciate it, Ty. Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot, and I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax and have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Are you ready to step into style? Look no further than 6140 Run, your go-to destination for the latest in footwear fashion. Right now, 6140 Run has a great selection of Hey Dude shoes. And here's the kicker. You can buy one pair of Hey Dudes and get the second pair 30% off. Hey Dude shoes are the perfect combination of comfort and trendiness. Don't miss out on the chance to upgrade your shoe game. Visit 6140 Run in Galesburg today to get your pair of Hey Dude shoes.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
This is Jim Taylor at WMJ Radio in Aledo. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. I know really kind of a tough situation this week as we approach the Easter holiday weekend. And I always tell people a lot that this job in this business is really about the relationships that are created over the years. And I was thinking, we were talking about this a couple weeks ago, by the way, about, you know, how we can get together and you know, have conversations and develop great friendships. And I know one of the guys that is kind of a common denominator for Brian and myself is Ryan Winkler, who is the head basketball coach of the Erie Provincetown Co-op, also a guidance counselor in the Erie School District, and they co-op with Provincetown, Erie Provincetown, the Panthers. And we have a relationship with Erie Provincetown because of the teams we cover in the track with Rock Ridge and Sherrard and Orion playing over there. And just a terrible tragedy this week with three Provincetown kids that died in a traffic-related accident. But the one thing that I think so great, Brian, and I know you can attest to it, is, you know, all these local schools, they always reach out in these type of times. And it's always great to see that because I think a lot of these relationships that are created through, you know, high school athletics and activities, isn't that right?
Oh, it's exactly right. And I think, you know, it's a reminder that it's just a game. And sometimes real life can be cruel. It steps in and deals the community a terrible, terrible tragedy. And I just think the comfort, the words from opponents, the words from other school districts and such, it helps. And again, I think it just goes to show that we are blessed to live in, you know, a small town and, you know our neighbors. And in this situation, get a lot of comfort and support from area schools and administrators and fans and anyone else that can, you know, be of help.
It, well, and I think the other great thing here too, and I can speak probably a little bit on your behalf. Now, I don't know a lot of people that go to Provincetown schools. I don't know a lot of people that go to Erie schools. Again, they co-op, but we cross paths with those schools in different things. We're up there broadcasting at Provincetown for football or Erie for football. And then, you know, we cover the Cliff Workins Memorial Holiday Classic, where we run into a lot of people from those two schools, and they've always treated us greatly. And that's why I think about, you know, situations like this, because we never know. Is it, can something like this happen in one of our local schools? And of course it can. And I know you have the relationship with Ryan Winkler, who's on your regular coaches program. So I think about like all of that when we hear stories like this.
Yeah, and I think about all of our listeners and friends down there in Provincetown or Erie Provincetown. I mean, it's just It's a tragic thing. There's nothing that I can say that's going to, you know, make it come undone. But it's a situation where we can lend our support because we know that life can be tragic and we don't know what's going to happen around, you know, the next corner. And that's what we see in small towns. We see everybody kind of dive in and try to be of help when situations like this occur.
And how neat is it already that all of these schools and these communities have really reached out to, you know, both Erie and both Prophetstown. And like I mentioned, you know, those connections through high school athletics and activities. So it's great to see that.
Yeah, it certainly is. And, you know, we think about that. And I know you've been through situations where there's tragedy locally. And the one thing you can take as a positive is the way the community responds. And we are very blessed to live where we do in the type of communities that we live in.
All right. Thinking about our friends at Prophetstown and, of course, Erie, they co-op and a tragedy this week with three young lives lost. He's Brian Rouche at WCCI Radio in Savannah. This is Jim Taylor at WMJ Radio in Aledo. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Spring is in the air, and it's time to take your workouts outdoors with 6140 Run. Introducing the latest arrivals at 6140 Run, the Brooks Glycerin 21, Mizuno Wave Horizon, and Saucony Ride 17. Whether you're hitting the pavement or tackling the trails, these top-of-the-line running shoes will keep you comfortable every step of the way. Don't let anything hold you back this spring. Take the first step at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialist at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Three down, three to go.
Go Illini! We'll see you in Boston, Massachusetts.
It's the Fighting Illini and UConn Huskies in the Elite Eight.
Here's an alley-oop to Guerrier for the flush.
Join us Saturday live from TD Garden in Boston on your home for Fighting Illini basketball, the Busey Bank Illini Sports Network from Learfield.
All right, Jim Taylor, Ty Taylor winding down the WRMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning. I think we only have about seven of these remaining for the 2023-2024 school year.
How sad is that?
Yeah, how sad. And then we get set like a 6-week break, and then the high school football.
Yeah, I can't wait to go around and talk to Coach.
We'll have some special off season.
Johnston and Graves and Filler.
Yeah, and then we'll have some special off season coverage. Of course, we'll have up our sleeve, and maybe we can do like a special Saturday morning sports line and bring a bunch of experts.
Yeah, Coach Cook and Grandpa and everybody.
Well, I was thinking about getting Greg Armstrong and Brian Stocking and Brian
Rouche.
We
should do a special Saturday summer sports line.
And get Nesto, Aaron Britton from Nesto Hoops up here, and then Dave Nanengay from Illinois High School Glory Days.
You think we could get Nesto to come? Well, he came to Aledo for the LTC tournament, I guess.
Doesn't he cover some summer shootouts?
Yeah.
At different locations?
We got to try to talk him into coming to the one at Monmouth, and then we can maybe parlay that into him starting his day here. I might reach out to Nesto on that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We were talking today about the Rock Ridge streak, and I brought this up to Ty. Every week, the National Federation of State High School Associations, they send out, like, notes on different things around the country as it relates to high school sports, and they were talking about some of the things that happened during March Madness at the high school level. And this is one of the notes that is really impressive to me. So this is a girls basketball team in Missouri, St. Louis Incarnate Word Academy, capped off a 31-0 season with their seventh consecutive Missouri State High School Activities Association Championship, while extending the nation's longest high school basketball winning streak to 131 games in high school basketball they've won in a row. Holy smokes. And like, it just takes one bad night in one bad quarter in high school basketball to do you in. But that must be a team that just kind of is ahead of the pack if you win 131 games in a row in seven state championships. Now, I don't know how many classifications there are in Missouri girls basketball, but still, whatever. I mean, you got to run into some teams in the course of 131 games that it's a toss up. But that's an impressive streak. And then another note that they passed along involving high school baseball. Hartselle, Alabama high school coach William Booth notched his 1,199th and 1,200th career victories with his team sweep of Muscle Shoals High School. The Alabama High School Athletic Association's all-time winning a skipper and a member of the Alabama High School Association Hall of Fame needed just 36 seasons to reach 1,200 wins. So, nine-time state champ, his record 1,200 and 515, so a winning percentage of 700.
Wow.
And let's see, most wins of any active baseball coach listed in the National High School Sports Record Book and sits at number 5 in the all-time rankings. I'm like, there's somebody that has more than 1,200 wins in high school baseball?
But apparently there is. Four of them.
Yeah, did that in 36 seasons. So again, National Federation of State High School Associations, they offer some of those notes. But what was the streak for Rock Ridge in softball? 70, what was it?
73.
So you look 131. I mean, basically doubling that in basketball for that St. Louis
Coach school. Cook just texted me. He said, count me in, and he's FaceTiming me. Should I answer the call right on there?
For what thing?
For the thing over the... I'm going to answer it and see what he says. Oh, no, it just went out. I would have answered that. I wish I could have got the answer off on time. We could have held them.
Yeah, and you should have told him you're not on the air, Coach Cook, and then we can get to what
and then we could get him in
trouble.
And
then it's like he'll never be on the air ever again. No, just kidding.
But yeah, he's calling again now. Let's see. I'm going to pick up.
Now make sure you tell him he's on the
Coach
air.
Coach Cook, I'm answering the phone, and it's held up right to the microphone. What's going on?
I hit the wrong button. I'm headed out to Rock Ridge, and I pulled off here by the, I don't know where I'm at here on 31st Avenue in Rock Island. Anyway, I want to come over there and be on the air with you guys.
Of course you do.
This summer.
Yeah, we'll do it. I'll get a hold of you. And you're still in for Monday and Tuesday, right, for softball next week?
Yeah, I'll be there. All right,
sounds good.
A bunch of stories.
Yeah, so all right, real quick, we'll let you get on your way, but just... We were talking about the Rock Ridge softball loss this morning. What's kind of the your takeaway? Again, you're on the air, so just careful with what you say.
I know. They're obviously, God bless them. You know, that program is, we expect so much for that program and take so much for granted that they're going to be great forever. Well, these I felt sorry for the girls last night because they stepped into some big shoes. And we've got some young kids that made mistakes last night. The defense let them down more than anything. And then the bottom of their order is not hitting. So at least against that pitcher who's a great pitcher. So, you know, we talked about, and it was an upset statewide. It had to be called an upset, but by and large, really was it. I mean, after watching that pitcher, I'm not sure it was an upset.
So just thanks, Coach Cook, for calling, and thanks for listening, too, and enjoy your day of doubleheader with the Rockets and Hall, right?
I'm not sure. Yeah, right there.
All right, sounds good. All right, Coach, we'll see you hopefully on Monday and Tuesday. See you later.
All right.
That's amazing.
That's live radio. I hope he's honest with us and he did pull over.
Yeah, he probably did.
Yeah, I know. I'm kidding.
And I was kidding when I told him to be careful when he was on the air. That was just a joke, everybody.
So has he met Nesto?
No.
Boy, he would love... Then we would tell Nesto... Aaron Britton, his friend that lives in Oregon, Illinois, was the official scorer for the St. Louis Cardinals for 33 years. So I know Coach Cook would try to trick him with some kind of, you know, baseball. Who's the smartest man in the room with baseball rules? And I'd say Tom Taylor, 1010 4th Street A. Hampton, or Glenn Cook, or the St. Louis Cardinals official scorer.
That'd be good stuff, yeah.
So, yeah, Glenn Cook would like that conversation. And then, like I said, bring in Dave Dandengay from Illinois High School Glory Days.
Yeah, we do. We should do a special Saturday sports line in the summer. That would be kind of fun to do one.
We should go head-to-head with Rhubarb. No,
yeah. We'll have to get the okay from the brass, though, and that's always tough to do, I guess.
All right. So hopefully weather cooperates. Those are two intriguing games Monday and Tuesday with Rockridge softball at Sherrard and then Rockridge hosting Mercer County in softball on Tuesday. And again, the local call of Illini basketball with Brian Barnhart and Deion Thomas coming up today, 4 o'clock pregame, and 5:09 tip.
And they do a really great job. They really do.
From Boston. And then we'll have Cardinal Baseball JIP joined in progress with the Dodgers tonight. So that's our programming schedule. And for Ty Taylor, I'm Jim Taylor, and you're listening to WMJ. WMJ.com.
Go Illini.
Go Illini.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ. Today's program has been brought to you by 6140 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes. Hey Dude Shoes and Birkenstock Sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine Work Boots. Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more. And by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business. The proceeding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice in Western Illinois.